History tells us a disturbing truth. Societies naturally drift toward inequality, and only catastrophic violence has ever significantly reversed this trend. Walter Scheidel's groundbreaking work, The Great Leveler, reveals this uncomfortable pattern with meticulous evidence spanning thousands of years. Imagine a world where the gap between rich and poor grows relentlessly during peaceful times, only to collapse when disaster strikes. This isn't dystopian fiction, it's the actual rhythm of human civilization. From ancient Rome to modern America, the story repeats: stability breeds inequality, while chaos destroys it. As Warren Buffett candidly admitted, there's been class warfare going on for the last 20 years, and my class has won. Scheidel's work explains why this victory has been so complete and why peaceful solutions remain so elusive. Throughout history, four catastrophic forces have consistently flattened economic hierarchies: mass warfare, transformative revolution, state collapse, and deadly pandemics. Mass mobilization warfare, particularly the world wars, leveled societies through wealth destruction, extreme taxation, reaching 94% top rates, and labor empowerment. The wealthy lost fortunes through bombing, inflation, and taxes, while workers gained bargaining power through labor shortages. Revolutionary violence achieved even more dramatic compression. The Bolshevik Revolution eliminated Russia's aristocracy almost overnight, while Mao's revolution collectivized land and eliminated landlords, fundamentally restructuring economic systems to prevent wealth concentration. State collapse erased protective mechanisms that preserved elite advantages. When the Roman Empire fell, complex economic networks disintegrated, and aristocratic families who had dominated for centuries vanished. Similar patterns followed the collapse of Chinese dynasties and Middle Eastern empires. Pandemics like the Black Death altered economic fundamentals by making labor scarce relative to land. When one-third of Europe's population died in the 14th century, workers commanded higher wages while land values plummeted, compressing wealth disparities for over a century. What's striking is how ineffective peaceful mechanisms have been by comparison. Land reforms, economic crises, democratic transitions, and development have all failed to significantly reduce inequality without the catalyst of violence. We weren't always so unequal. For most of human existence, we lived as hunter-gatherers in remarkably egalitarian bands. Unlike our hierarchical primate relatives, early humans developed social mechanisms to maintain equality. The Kung of the Kalahari mocked successful hunters to prevent arrogance. The Hadza enforced sharing through tolerated scrounging and sanctions against self-promotion. Agriculture transformed this equality by enabling surplus production, private property, and inheritance systems. Once people could store food, own land, and pass wealth to their children, stratification became possible. By 6000 to 4000 BCE, structural inequality was established through defensive structures, public buildings, hereditary rank, and specialized craft networks. Archaeological evidence confirms this shift. The Bulgarian Varna Cemetery, 5th millennium BCE, contains one burial with 990 gold objects, while most graves held nothing. This pattern emerged independently across early civilizations, where temples and palaces became physical manifestations of hierarchy. Irrigation systems in river valleys allowed elites to control water access and labor. Imperial conquest intensified inequality through aggressive wealth extraction across territories. Even skeletal remains tell this story. Elite remains show better nutrition, greater height, and fewer signs of physical stress than those of commoners. Large agrarian empires perfected the art of generating extreme inequality. The Roman and Han Chinese empires, each containing roughly a quarter of the world's population at their height, developed sophisticated systems that concentrated wealth among tiny elites. In China, each new dynasty began with land redistributions that temporarily reduced inequality before wealth inevitably reconcentrated. Under the Tang, aristocratic families maintained power for centuries, controlling vast estates and government positions while intermarrying to preserve their wealth and dominance. The Roman Empire's inequality was equally severe. Provincial governors extracted wealth so efficiently that one could enter Syria poor and leave rich after just 2 years. Under Nero, 6 men allegedly owned half of Africa province. Archaeological evidence from Pompeii reveals this stratification. About 1 to 2% of families occupied grand mansions with elaborate frescoes and private baths, while most lived in modest apartments or cramped tenements. The empire-wide income distribution was staggering, with the top 1.5% of households capturing between 1/6 and 1/3 of total output. This concentration was reinforced through legal structures, inheritance practices, and political appointments. Urban centers particularly displayed this wealth disparity. Both empires maintained inequality through social structures that limited mobility between classes. While education, military service, and commercial success occasionally allowed individuals to rise socially, systematic barriers prevented widespread advancement for most of the population. The most dramatic economic leveling in history occurred between 1914 and 1945, when world wars transformed global inequality. This Great Compression followed similar patterns across developed nations, with inequality plummeting during war years and remaining low for decades. Japan exemplifies this transformation. From 1938 to 1945, the income share of Japan's top 1% collapsed from 19.9% to 6.4%, while the largest estates lost 90% of their value. This resulted not from progressive reforms, but from total war, military mobilization, bombing campaigns killing nearly 700,000 civilians, and subsequent occupation. Similar patterns emerged across Europe. The Netherlands saw war profits temporarily boost top incomes early in WWI before steep declines. Finland's top 1% income share halved between 1938 to 1947. Denmark and Norway experienced substantial compression under German occupation. Countries involved in the world wars shared common elements: capital losses through destruction or inflation, declining returns to capital from tax policies, and post-war commitment to progressive taxation. Mass mobilization for violence drove this transnational transformation of wealth distribution. Communist revolutions achieved even more dramatic leveling. Lenin's government immediately abolished private property rights, nationalized banks, placed factories under worker control, and confiscated private accounts, economically destroying the landowning class and upper bourgeoisie. The generation that experienced the Great Compression is fading away, along with the era of massive inequality reduction that began in 1914. For about a generation now, income disparities have grown across all developed countries with reliable data, with top income shares growing by half between 1980 and 2010 in 26 nations. This resurgence stems from technological change and globalization, creating polarization between low-paid manual jobs and high-paid abstract occupations. Education has become crucial. Between 1981 and 2005, the earnings gap between high school and college graduates in the U.S. doubled from 48% to 97%. Looking ahead, the four traditional levelers are unlikely to return. Mass warfare now favors quality over quantity. Transformative revolution has fallen out of fashion. State failure on massive scales has become rare. Even severe epidemics would have different effects due to modern medical capabilities. This creates a profound dilemma. If violent shocks have been the only reliable means of reducing inequality throughout history, what hope exists for peaceful compression? Europe's seemingly moderate inequality masks a vulnerability. Its equitable distribution depends on massive redistribution, threatened by aging populations and unprecedented immigration. History shows that peaceful mechanisms have never achieved the leveling effects of catastrophic violence. Yet we cannot wish for war, revolution, collapse, or pandemic as solutions. We face an unprecedented challenge: finding ways to moderate extreme inequality without devastating human costs, as unchecked inequality risks social instability that might trigger the very catastrophes we hope to avoid.